Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything beautiful and valuable, Elizabeth Stewart. And, you know, a great friend of the program, Jamie Dufek, he always keeps me in touch with what's happening with the arts in Santa Barbara. And I want to introduce her to, because we're going to talk today about a really interesting happening. And so the Arts Fund, Jamie is affiliated with the Arts Fund, and she is announcing the arrival of Beautiful Journey, an immersive art exhibition that's debuting in the Arts Fund Museum of Sensory and Movement Experiences. It's a community gallery, opens February 22nd, and it's an installation that's created by Professor Dr. Peter Brill, who is head of the Brill Family Foundation. And it's an interesting foundation because they are dedicated to fostering positive change through creative collaboration, technologies for the purpose of social good. And this intrigued me because it's an immersive show and it's involving a lot of different creative talents. And I really wanted to hear more about it. Let me introduce Jamie, who's going to introduce Peter. Jamie's the Vice President of Field Operations for Tiger 21. She counsels ultra-high net worth individuals, and she helps them navigate changes and challenges created by their success. She's the founder of Clay, a consulting company that supports not-for-profits with development and strategic planning. This is her kind of segue into the not-for-profit world here in Santa Barbara because she serves on the board of the Arts Fund and the Women's Fund and the Santa Barbara Bull Foundation's Outreach Committee. So, you know, she brings the element of business savvy to a lot of the not-for-profits that she helps. But I've known her in the role of the Arts Fund and all the fun things she's done with the Arts Fund and all of the different platforms now over the years that the Arts Fund now has raised themselves to under Jamie's tutelage. So I'm really proud to have her on the show. And Jamie, would you introduce Peter?
Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you
for
the kind introduction. I'm happy to introduce Peter Brill. He is a psychiatrist and a physician. I've had the pleasure of working with Peter very closely throughout this partnership of bringing A Beautiful Journey to the Arts Fund, which we'll dive deeper into and discuss more today. And as you mentioned, in addition to his work on this project, Peter also contributes greatly to the community through his family foundation, the Peter Brill Foundation. And I'm really excited to be in this conversation with him and you today, and he has acted as the main producer of A Beautiful Journey, and so it'll be really exciting to hear his thoughts and the process of this piece that we're really thrilled to have come to the Arts Fund.
So it's an interesting thing. Both of you have this business arts affiliation, both Jamie and Peter. Peter received his MD from UCLA. He became a board-certified psychiatrist after a residency at the University of Pennsylvania. Then he attended the Wharton School of Business, where he became a senior fellow. And so it's sort of an interesting combination. So it's the business end with, you know, the kind of life-driven passion. Peter founded and directed the Center for the Study of Adult Development, affiliated with the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania, and consulted to over 150 organizations, ran national companies, and carried out a private practice as well. Not only that, I've looked at his website where he's got a number of his titles. He's written many books. He's been on lots of TV and radio and all kinds of platforms internationally as well, and lectured. And when did you move to Santa Barbara, Peter?
We moved here in 1998, but I need to correct one thing, if you don't mind. It's the Karen and Peter Brill Foundation.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so, no, Santa Barbara, we retired early here. I retired at 52, having done a lot of work, and I fell in love with Santa Barbara. I felt I died and went to heaven.
Exactly. Okay, so now can you tell me a little bit, before we get into the beautiful journey, you became the director of the Third Age Foundation, and then we have various publications that I want to talk about, but can you tell me what the Third Age Foundation is?
Sure. When I retired, I was very interested in this stage of life, the period of life from, say, 50 or 55, 60 on, which at that time there was almost nothing known about it. And, you know, because people are living longer and longer. The first age is childhood. Second age is career and family. Third age is everything after that. And the question was, how do people have a joyous and meaningful third age? And we did a lot of studies and had a lot of people on about it. The answer is, quickly, what people are looking for in the third age is passion. That is something to get them excited to get up. Purpose, that is something to give meaning to their life. And joy, which is that wonderful feeling when you feel alive and happy.
It's so true. I mean, when you say that, you know, I'm in that third age as well. And those purpose, passion, and joy, it's so easy to lose sight of,
isn't it?
One of those three, you know, of that, the three-legged stool thing there.
Most so people easy. Have trouble with the meaning part.
Yeah. Right. So, and I guess it would be like, who determines meaning? Is it your meaning to others? Is it your meaning to your community? You know, is it like, I mean, I think about, you know, my kids and grandkids, and do they need me? No, they really don't, you know? So, you know, you're laughing. It's true, though. It's like, okay, it's a different kind of meaning maybe than used to be like in my mom's generation.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, so we'll talk a little bit about a couple of books before we launch into this. Tell me about Finding Your J-Spot.
That was the learnings that we had from the third age, from all the work we did. We did about 2,000 people in workshops, and we did a radio show, and we had a column and all that. And that contains all the learnings of it. It's a 7-step model that people need to have to create what's called rising energy. Rising energy, we know we're going to decay physically. So we have to have our spiritual energy, which is part of what we did with the Beautiful Journey. You have to have your spiritual energy rise. I don't mean religious. I mean spiritual, that deeper sense of whatever it is, vitality inside yourself has to rise in the third age. And how do you do that? And that's what the book describes.
Okay, so now that's a great segue into the Beautiful Journey. So I guess my question would be, Peter, when you already did your disclaimer there, it's spiritual, does not mean religious. It means, on a really deep level, a sense of vitality, if I heard you right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Vitality, so now, meaning, connection, sense of being alive. How does a man with who has no legs climb a mountain? Where does he get his energy from?
Yeah. So now, can you bring that into the spiritual journey kind of, as you said, how does a man climb a mountain with no legs? So, you know, that man is on his journey to find how he gets to, he conquers that mountain. Can you then tell me how that kind of thought led you to the creation of A Beautiful Journey? I mean, what was that? Yeah,
sure.
What was that trajectory?
Sure. Briefly, and I also want to get Jamie involved in this. Jamie has been so absolutely supportive and the Art Fund, so supportive and so wonderful to work with. I just want to mention and thank her in the process of doing that. So it started all with the research has been done with psilocybin.
Psilocybin, oh, really?
Is the mushroom. And it turned out that cancer patients that they give psilocybin to, 80% of them overcome their fear of death, and which is amazing. And so we wondered if we could do the same thing. Also, VR is not like video. VR is so all-consuming. When you put a VR set on yourself and say you're at the ledge out on the edge of a building, and you try to step off, even though it's just an image, and you can't do it. You can't physically move. It overpowers it's so powerful. It's so engaging. And we wondered, could you use VR to alter people's consciousness? And because we're at the beginning of an absolute new stage for art, in which technology, psychology, spirituality, and health are all going to come together in a whole new way. It's a whole new unfolding with between VR and AI and all these things. It's going to be a new age of art unfolding. So we wanted to see what we could do with VR. And we found that what we were able to do with it was to create less anxiety and fear about death for people. They could value the present. It had helped them having and giving love by opening their hearts, finding something meaningful, and feeling connected to life. Those are what the outcomes so far we've found from people doing this, the VR experience. We were able to alter their consciousness in a very, very positive way. Not for treatment, not for mental health treatment, but for what I say, to go from normal to super normal.
So, okay, now you said that Jamie was instrumental in launching this wonderful project. So Jamie, can you take me back to, how did this happen? How did the Arts Fund become involved with Peter and his work?
Elizabeth, that's a great question. I'm trying to think back of how we were connected, Peter. And, as you know, Santa Barbara is a very small community. And then when you get into the art world, it becomes even smaller. Peter, do you remember who did the connect between the
two
of us?
No, but I remember meeting you and thinking you're such a visionary and such a talented and having both degrees. I just was so impressed by you, even before.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
This is Elizabeth. This is why we get along so well. He gives me all these compliments all the time. But I just remember,
like I said, your background is very similar, and also the way that we used to say right and left brain, but the creative process that is buoyed up by a real structural analysis of the situation. Both of you seem to have that. So yeah, I can see why you became friends.
Yeah.
But how did this project start?
Well, I cannot remember off the top of my head who connected us, but we became connected and we learned about, Peter's and the artist's vision for this project, just like you all heard from Peter now. And it was really interesting. And as some people may or may not know, the Museum of Sensory Movement Experience was a passion project and a vision from Marco Pinter that opened during the pandemic, and the Arts Fund absorbed that museum. And the project that Peter was working on, A Beautiful Journey, fits so nicely into the vision of that space of immersive art for almost an incubator for these ideas to be available and accessible to the public and the community. And so we're just really excited that it's going to be there. And it fit perfectly with the Arts Fund's, mission and what the Miss Me Museum was really all about. So it was just kind of a natural fit.
So let's just kind of explain what The Beautiful Journey is about. And Peter, I wonder, I've read about it, and it's a transformative VR experience And take us to the timeline. What kind of stages in life does A Beautiful Journey cover?
Sure. And I just want to say one thing. It's not scary at all. What happens is when you do the RVR project, it's very much like getting into a relaxed, easy state. You just kind of drift along. No one has, so far, who's gone through it has gotten scared or upset in terms of, you know, feeling frightened in any way. So, you know, because sometimes when you mention something like death, people go, oh, my God. No, it's not that at all. It's very easy and enjoyable. That's the beauty of the art and the music that supports the whole process. We go through your childhood. We go through a period of your life where you had early love, you know, like adolescence. We then pick a piece of your life where you felt very triumphant or was kind of like the upward peak. Then we pick a period where you felt defeated and down. And then we go to the most important thing of life, which is love. And, you know, if you don't have love in your life, let me tell you, you need to. We all need to connect and have love. And so we help with that to open people's heart. And then we go from there to kind of a transcendent experience that has people, which we benefited from the people who've had near-death experiences, what that's like and how to transmit that to people without it being scary. And then we return you to your regular life. And in the process, people rise to a new level of understanding of their lives and their own depth of spiritual feeling. I can't hear you. You want me to keep the...
What was the germ, the seed of this inspiration in your life?
Well, I think the third age work I did taught me how important it is for people to get elevated in this stage of life and before. Actually, it was surprising when we did their third age workshops, how many younger people came and got a lot out of it. Because passion, purpose, and joy should be there all through life. And so I just felt we needed a method, much more efficient method. And then, of course, the whole field is changed. I mean, if we can bend... If you could go, let's say you're shy and you could go do a VR experience and not be shy anymore, would you do it if it didn't hurt? Or let's say you like to be funnier, or let's say you feel that your heart is closed and you want to open it, or you want to have more compassion. If we could do a VR and you could come out of that with those changes, which we will be able to do sometime in the future, would you? I mean, people will rush to it. This is the birth of a new field.
Okay, so how did you, Peter, get exposed to virtual reality, the VR that you're talking about? What was your first experience with that?
Let's see if I can remember where I first ran into it. I read about it from a guy named Spiegel, who's an MD at Cedars-Sinai, who has a national conference, and put a book out about it and a set of YouTubes. And how impactful it is in medicine now.
All right. Well, you know, I want to talk a little bit about your role as producer, what that meant, the kind of people that you affiliated with to produce The Beautiful Journey. And then, Jamie, I understand that there is going to be a supporting opening February 15th for its sort of exclusive private fundraiser. Is that still going on?
We actually aren't having that on the 15th anymore, but we are going to be having the opening reception and tied in an artist talk to that opening reception. So the artists that supported this piece will be there to answer questions, dive deeper, have a little presentation so people can kind of peek under the hood of A Beautiful Journey.
Okay, so that's February 22nd.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And that's part of what I was asking Peter to do, to talk when we get back from the break. I want to talk about his role as producer and the other kind of creatives that he gathered around him to make Beautiful Journey. I think that because it's a it's a multi-platform piece. So, you know, the kind of people that you gathered, I want to hear about that when we get back from the break. Hey, Richard. Let's go to quick break. And I don't know if Peter and Jamie are going to hear it, but Richard was able to download some of the music that was done for A Beautiful Journey. And so you'll, dear listener, you will hear a bit of a little bit of a teaser of the music that's behind A Beautiful Journey. Okay, don't turn that dial. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm talking with Dr. Peter Brill and Jamie Dufek. Jamie is affiliated with the Arts Fund for many years. It's been such a joy to watch the progress and how it's grown. Jamie's been kind enough to be on the show a number of times with all sorts of innovative things that she brings to the Arts Fund, not the least of which is A Beautiful Journey that was produced by Dr. Brill. And I want to know the kind of people you gathered around you, Peter, to make this show happen.
Absolutely. So the fellow who's a professor down at Channel Island, Simone, who runs their film and media department down there in the art department. And originally I met with him and we got interested. And then, so he's done a lot of the media, the technology, and so forth. Then we had David Grossman, who ran all the music and ran all the music for Paramount for TV, and then became the director of our symphony for a while here. So he joined us, and he wrote all the music. And then Oriana Saunders, who's my assistant, was involved. And then my wife, actually, we had a contest for who would be the narrator, and she won the auditions by the team voted that she did the best, so she's the narrator. So it's, but we had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience working. It was one of the best experiences of my life, working with that group of people. And we had a lot of people helping us. Jamie helped us. Jonathan Schooler, who is at UCSB, who runs consciousness and so forth out there. I forget the exact thing, but he helped us. Spencer Sherman from City College, who does psychology and spirituality there. We had a number of people all helping us. Barbara Bartoloma from the Near Death Society helped us. I mean, all kinds of people gave us input.
And so your role was kind of, how did you see yourself? I mean, you were the sort of the protagonist, the head creator. How did you see yourself kind of pulling all these people together?
They pulled themselves together mostly. I defined the goals. Let's create a great piece of art, which it is, and a great advancement in terms of people's consciousness. And the team came together to help. I mean, we worked totally as a team to produce it.
I find that so interesting because, you know, you get a bunch of creatives in a room and sometimes it's like cats in a pillowcase, you know, and but this is not the story that you're telling me.
Well, that's the beauty of Jamie's and my training. We went for our MBA, so we learned how to work with teams, right, Jamie?
Yes, definitely.
So well, that's
and magical things happen when you have the right people in the room, right? And I think from hearing what Peter described as their creative process, things just flowed and went went together really naturally for them.
So how do people, we haven't done the public opening yet, but tell me, Peter, when you're watching somebody watch the performance, can you describe what their bodies are doing?
Mostly they're very relaxed. It's a very relaxing experience. You're kind of in an altered state. We're using what's called binaural beats to help people reach an altered state, which are two different frequencies of the sound. And they get into a very relaxed, almost like a altered state. And they just kind of experience, you know, various memories and thoughts from their lives. We've done focus groups, and we've also done it with a lot of people. I asked them afterwards, and people really, really enjoy the experience. We tell people, if you're ever frightened or anything bothers you, take off the scope. Well, in 80 some people, no one's ever done that. So it's not like taking a drug where if you take psilocybin, you're in it for 6 hours. This, you're in it for whatever length of time you want. And when you're done, when you want out, you just take the scope off. It's over. So it's much more safe and much more, you don't feel frightened.
And Jamie, this question is for you. So you've been around many, many of our notable creative folks here in Santa Barbara. I guess what I'm wanting to ask, well, I'll give you an experience from my life. So, when my son was very, very young, I grew up in a family of engineers. And when my son was very, very young, I was involved in the visual arts, and I decided that I was going to take my son to New York and see the Picasso Braque exhibit at the Museum of Modern Art. This was years ago. So we flew to New York City. He was 3 or 4. I thought that he needed to experience such genius as those two artists, Picasso and Braque, early on in his life. And that would be a starting point for him to understand the visual arts. And of course, it was all two-dimensional work. And I remember him being in front of nude descending a staircase and pointing right at the trajectory of, you know, the angle in which he was in his stroller, he was pointing up. So it was exactly the angle of his finger was the angle of the staircase. And I thought, he's got it. He's got it. He's going to always love looking at the visual arts, but that's a two-dimensional work. And that image of him pointing at that work has stayed with me all my life. And I guess what I'm saying is that's just an experience where it's you and the painting. It's not immersive per se, but there's immersive quality to looking at such a thing. How does this beautiful journey, as it's described to me as a new art form, how does this differ from, for example, that experience I was telling you about regarding a two-dimensional work? How is it different?
That's a great question. I think that, as I think about these kinds of pieces of, especially things like VR, where you're putting this headset on and it really, you're feeling like you can be in different places and there's movement aspects and things like that to it. It's reflective of where we are today, which I think art has always been, right? And where we're going. And if you think about the generations right now, as they're growing up, that have phones and iPads and gaming with these kinds of headsets, it makes complete sense that this is the type of work that is being created and emerging right now. And I think that it is that next level or elevation of awareness and reflection. And I think art has always asked the viewer to self-reflect in various ways, or reflect on certain topics and things like that. And this does that same thing. It's just incorporating technology that's relevant today that, you know, the younger generation and all of us are experiencing. And so it makes complete sense. And I think that's what somebody should expect, is that they're going to be experiencing a piece of work that really is reflective of what kind of technologies are at our fingertips today.
So I think that's remarkable that you said, you know, every generation has its own response based on its own technology, et cetera. And it's interesting when you think about it, you know, you cast your mind back to the 15th century when even the process of making oil paints, the actual physical process of making oil paint, that was a new technology.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Or the block printing and printmaking process in general,
right.
All of those
lithography
things.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It's all new technologies that came along at certain points in human evolution. Richard's giving us a sign we have to go to a quick break. And when I get back, I want to ask both of you, this is Jamie just used the word self-reflective and personal. When I was in front of that nude descending a staircase with my 3-year-old, it touched me in a way that was personal and self-reflective, but it was also universal. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is my question about A Beautiful Journey. When I was reading about it and I looked at the testimonials, it's a journey that takes us through life stages. How does that life stage journey, how is it personal if it's universal, Peter? How is that personal? How did you
have to take a break?
Answer when we get back from the break.
Save up the answer for you.
Save up the answer. I want to know how you made it such that, you know, it, maybe archetypally speaking, it's personal. I don't know the answer. I want to hear from you how you made the journey personal as well as universal when we get back from the break. Hey, Richard, let's go to quick break. And here again, the music that we're hearing was written, but now you said it was, who wrote the music?
David Grossman.
That's what I thought you said. He was part-time conductor, and he still comes and conducts every so often.
No, he was the head of the symphony, the executive director of the symphony.
Yeah, for years, yeah. So he was the author of the music, composer of the music, that Beautiful Journey. Real talents involved here.
Yes.
Super, super talent.
Yes.
Talent. Okay, when we get back from the break, we're going to figure out how is personal universal and vice versa in A Beautiful Journey. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. We're talking about the Arts Fund, the Museum of Sensory Movement Experiences, the Community Gallery, the Arts Fund, their collaboration with Dr. Peter Brill, who I'm finding out collaborated with a lot of geniuses in our community to make the show A Beautiful Journey, which is a VR experience. My question was, in reading the testimonials, looking into the show, and I haven't seen it. Of course, it opens on the 22nd of February. But the issue is universality versus personal experience and self-reflection. I'm wondering how Dr. Brill and his team, and Peter Brill was the producer, how he managed to meld those two. I mean, because what I'm reading about it, Peter, is that, you know, you're bringing precious childhood moments stages of life. Those are personal. In what way? Let's take precious childhood moments. How Perfect. Did you? Yeah, let's take experience that for me. How did you take that and make that so that someone who's so intimately involved with this piece of art recognizes their own childhood moment?
Yeah, it's a wonderful question, and it was a big, big problem and a big struggle for us to get it, try to get it right. We all have childhoods. Many of us have very happy childhoods, or mostly happy childhoods. Some of us have unhappy childhoods, and so we had to deal with that dilemma. But let's just take the happy end. It's very, very important for people to reconnect to the joy of childhood. As you age, you have more and more responsibility and more events or experiences that are painful and can limit your sense of freedom and emotional joy. And so to reconnect to your childhood, and if you did have one that had joy in it, helps restore for people. But the way we do it in specific is we ask them to remember certain kinds of things from their childhood. Did they have a best friend? Did they remember what it was like on a playground? Did they, you know, what was life? Remember the clouds? Do you remember lying on your back in the ground and looking at the clouds? Can you remember things that connect you back to that, you personally, as you're going through this VR experience, back to that part of your life?
So you're not actually showing in the sense like a video would show you a certain childhood experience. You're actually asking the question to relive.
There's a general childhood visual of people in a playground and clouds and to go along with it, plus the music. And David did a phenomenal job of, so the music and the visuals help you do it, plus the relaxed state that you're in.
They help you to relive those and bring a little joy into your adulthood, yeah?
Remember what joy is, how important it is for your health and for your happiness. It's not all duty.
Yeah, we all forget that. Or most of us forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so it's a landscape that you're creating that's a sort of a platform for the viewer. Viewer is the wrong word, is it?
Participant.
Participant, yeah. It's a way to get into a reflective state.
Yes.
In which you can escape in some way.
Yes, and re-experience things and also reframe things. What happens is we need to reframe parts of our lives, looking back from our wisdom of later years back to the events of our earlier years in order to change them.
And this is a reframing technique, which, you know, as Jamie was saying, or what I was distilling from what she was saying about her encounters with art, that it art always reframes.
Exactly.
And it's the goal of art is to reframe. And Jamie was speaking about it in a generational context, but this is also a personal reframing, very personal reframing. And Peter, I want to know, so I'm really involved with the idea of an object as an appraiser. I'm involved with the idea of an object and how it narrates the owner's experience of the material world. That's a real big platform for me to think about and study.
I bet you.
Yeah. And my question to you is, what's the role of narration in a beautiful journey?
The narrator, who's Karen, who was an actress and a performer and a singer, and does a fabulous job, even though she's my wife. She helps you kind of flow along with the experience, feel safe and flowing and directing you. And if you let her, she'll help you achieve the states that you need to go to.
I guess my question is in a broader way. So every work of art, even though it tries to escape the narrative structure, has a narrative structure. It's telling a story.
Yeah.
Even if it's, you know, conceptual art wants to go away from that narrative structure. So if this is, how do I ask this? In a way, is A Beautiful Journey somehow a story?
It's your story. It's the unit, both what you said. It's both the universal story and your story.
And how has this served the Arts Fund? In other words, if I fall in love with this, how does it serve the mission of the Arts Fund? In other words, do I maybe support the Arts Fund monetarily so that people can create more work like this? Or how do you see this fitting into the whole panoply of what the Arts Fund's journey is?
Yes, I mean, we are always welcoming donations, monetary donations from people in the community to kind of vote with their dollars that the arts are important, that our organization should continue these things. But this is really a piece that supports our mission of providing and fostering the arts throughout Santa Barbara County.
Right. So the idea is that we're bringing a new way of experiencing, which is what all new art and technology is about. It's a new way of experiencing. So in short, how does this fit into the whole season? In other words, have you developed any kind of talks around this or any kind of other art forms around this at all?
Yes. So it fits beautifully within the Miss Me Museum in and of itself, right? It's an immersive experience, and we will actually have an artist talk at the opening for people to be able to dive in deeper. And it's a unique opening reception because we will have the artist there. We will be showing a little bit of a preview to the exhibit, and people will be able to sign up for time slots to experience it. It's about a 20-minute experience in total. Uh-huh. And so it'll be really great to be able to hear directly from the artist that Peter has been talking about and Peter himself to learn more about the piece and the entire process behind it as well.
But one final question, because we're getting down to the end of the hour. But so does the piece in your mind, Peter, involve any kind of call to action?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. Not particularly in and of itself, but we have a manual that is free for people that we've written, where it has all kinds of other questions and directions for people that they can get. That actually, I think they can either order it or we'll have it for them at the Art Fund, and they can continue to work on it if they want. So it's not necessarily, this is more changing consciousness more than changing specific behaviors.
Yes, as you said before, it's a reframing experience. I think that's what you said. It's a... Mm-hmm. You know, I was when you said that, it was interesting because I was thinking about my own childhood, for example, which was not all that great in some ways. And so I was thinking, well, how do I reframe that? And what would be the tool I would use to reframe that?
Come and do our VR.
Well, I intend to. I intend to. Yes, indeed. So, Jamie, tell us a little bit how people find out about this, how people schedule the 20-minute experience. Give us some down and dirty here.
Yeah. So first, I encourage everybody to come to the opening reception, which will take place on the 22nd, 5 o'clock. And then once it officially opens on the 22nd, people will be able to go to our website and be able to purchase tickets to the museum and sign up for their time slot. We offer Community Fridays, so you still go on and reserve your tickets, but every Friday they are complimentary to the community, so there's no charge to come and experience the museum as a whole and a beautiful journey.
And give us the phone number or website or both.
The website is artsfundsb.org.
Okay, and we can sign up by on the website. We can purchase tickets, or we can go to Community Fridays. And the 22nd of February at 5 p.m. is the reception. Are people going to be experiencing a beautiful journey at that time, or is that the artist talk, or both?
They will be able to experience parts of a beautiful journey through the artist talk and projection, and then they'll be able to experience the actual piece the next day when they sign up for the time slots.
Well, thank you both, Jamie and Peter. I can't
thank
wait
you.
To see it. It's been such an interesting hour, fascinating. And thank you, Peter, for all your genius there. I mean, that's got to be the bottom line. Thank you, Peter.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Bye.